Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instruction of our Creator and putting His Word into action, from suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show and your host, Paul Neeson.
Shalom, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Welcome to today's message. And this is such an important message that I pray you just take the time to really reflect on what I'm trying to express here. I pray to our Creator all the time about these things and situations in my own life. And in humility, I come to you and say, these are the ways to get close to our Creator. These are the things that people often overlook. And these are the things that will bless yourselves and bless us. So I pray that something I say today will resonate with you and help you, and you will come to get a better understanding of these issues. Hallelujah. In today's world, one of the greatest spiritual dangers in our generation is that we often judge too quickly. We often judge way too much. And I've been guilty of this. Somebody who does street evangelism, and I even had people come up to me and say, "You're being too judgmental." And I would say, "Are you judging me for judging you?" So everyone likes to judge. But if we're judging something, you know, we could have discernment. We need to judge to have discernment. And the scriptures have no issue with that. For the scriptures say it's okay to discern and to judge as long as you're not judging somebody's salvation. You know, it's what you do with that judging. Are you judging people to lift them up, or are you judging them to knock them down? That's the key that I have found. But it's still a great spiritual danger, because many people are judging for the wrong reasons. And social media today doesn't make it any easier. Someone today might post a picture or share a video or tell a story, and immediately everyone has an opinion. You know, they say a picture is worth more than 1,000 words, or at least that's what they used to say. Now it might be a video is worth more than 1,000 words. But it's become more easy now than ever before to hide behind a computer screen and judge others. But we, as followers of Yeshua, our wonderful Messiah, are called to live differently and act differently than the world reacts. See, when something happens immediately, the world reacts with gossip. As disciples in Yeshua, we are to maybe investigate the situation, but never to do what the world does and assuming things immediately. Always give the person that's being pointed towards or guilty the benefit of the doubt until something is proven, and even then seeking a way to lift them up. But we don't automatically, and we shouldn't automatically, leave a picture or a story, which is all gossip. We should investigate it ourselves and seek the truth. It's one of the greatest evidences of someone who fears our Creator. It's not how loud they worship, or how much scripture they memorize, or how many sermons they listen to. One of the greatest evidences is how they respond when something negatively is said about a person. Do they immediately believe it, or do they pause before speaking? And today I want to look how Yeshua judged people and why we should learn to do the same. We're going to start off in this scripture, Isaiah 11, verses 2 to 3. The Ruach of Yah will rest upon him. He will delight in the fear of Yahweh. He will not judge by what his eyes see, nor decide by what his ears hear. Think about that. The Messiah possessed perfect wisdom, yet Scripture says he did not simply trust appearances. If anyone could have judged instantly, it was Yeshua. Instead, he looked deeper. He saw the heart. That is an incredible lesson for us. Most of our mistakes happen because we think we know the whole story. But only our Creator knows the whole story. And this is something that makes us usually judge too quickly. We often assume, I saw it, I heard it, I know exactly what happened. But do we really? Are we really asking the deep questions? Maybe you misunderstood somebody's words. Have you ever assumed someone's motive and later discovered you were completely wrong? Come on, every one of us has. That should produce humility. James gives us a simple command. In verse 1:19 of James, it says, let every person be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. Notice the order. Quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to react. Unfortunately, many believers reverse that. Quick to speak, quick to judge, and slow to listen. Once again, as we talk about taking the order and the pattern of our Creator and switching it around is the enemy's trick. Yah gave us an order in Scripture, and here we see it in James. Quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to react. What does the enemy make man turn that around? Quick to speak, quick to judge, and slow to listen. Remember, we can see the outside appearance of things, but only our Creator truly sees the heart and truly knows. This is why in Scripture it says, let him take revenge. Let him take care of the situation and rest at peace. It's not up to us. We don't need adding sparks to the fire and all of these things. One of the greatest lessons in Scripture comes from Samuel. When Samuel went to anoint David, he immediately assumed Eliab was God's choice. Immediately he assumed that and he thought that. He looked impressive. He looked strong, handsome, and confident. Surely this must be the next king. But our Creator stopped Samuel. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7 says, man looks at the outward appearance, but Yahweh looks into the heart. Yahweh sees what we cannot. That is why outward appearances are never enough. Sometimes the strongest looking believer is struggling privately. Sometimes the quiet believer is deeply mature. Sometimes the successful believer is spiritually empty, while the broken believer is closer to our Creator. We simply don't know, and we need to stop thinking we know. Stop assuming. You have humility and pride, and if you want to put yourself in the front thinking you know everything and you could read everything and you know what's going on in everyone's life, often we have no idea what people are going through personally. This is why I do my best to give people the benefit of the doubt. Nobody knows the true situation behind somebody's life except our Creator. And we take an example from Yahshua, who looked beyond appearances. Think about the woman in Scripture that was caught in adultery. Everyone saw one thing. They saw a sinner, a lawbreaker, someone deserving death. But Yeshua saw something deeper. He saw a woman who needed mercy. He also saw the hypocrisy of the religious leaders. He wasn't excusing sin. He simply refused to judge superficially. That's wisdom. Right there. This is the example that we all need to understand. We all need to realize. In today's world, I see many believers judging not only the world, but other believers. One group will say that group is doing this wrong, or the other group will say that group is doing that wrong. We must go beyond the appearance and look at the motive of a person. If somebody is doing things that are wrong, but the motive is right, better they do that than to do things right as a show to the world, but have a bad motive. Yeshua even said, it's not only the physical act, but it's the thought that really is lifting or putting down the person. So we got to look beyond the actual physical thing that's going on. Even if a person said something that they are guilty of or did something they're guilty of. Now, their motive doesn't excuse them from wrongdoing, but certainly it should excuse us from judging them for the way things came out. We need to understand the mercy of our wonderful Creator. Let's consider this warning and look at another passage from Scripture. In John 2:23-25, many believed in Yeshua because of his miracles. At first glance, this sounds wonderful. A revival, large crowds, people believing. But then comes one of the most sobering statements in the Gospels. Yeshua did not entrust himself to them. Wow. Why is that? Because he knew what was in man. He knew their hearts. That should cause every believer to examine himself. Is it possible to believe in Yeshua and yet still have mixed motives? Is it possible to attend a fellowship without truly surrendering? Is it possible to know scripture verses without allowing our Creator to transform your heart? Yah is not impressed with merely outward religion. He desires genuine obedience. Brothers and sisters, are you listening to this? I could say many people that claim to know our Creator are guilty of putting on a show. Not only are they fooling others, but they're fooling themselves. But then I have to say I am guilty as everyone else if I say that, because I am judging based on appearance. It's no right for me as a believer to be judging another believer of what their motive truly is. I am just as guilty as everyone else here. That person's not keeping this command. That person's not doing that. They can't possibly leave. They're keeping this worldly holiday, but they're not keeping this holy day of Scripture. This is not the way a believer should talk. And all over many of these movements and in these churches today, that's what you get. Well, that group of people do this wrong and they do that wrong. Remember, folks, our Creator is looking for disciples. Yeshua never called people merely to believe facts. He called them to follow him. Hallelujah. In Luke 9:23, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross every day and follow me. Notice the disciples always required surrender. Our culture today says, believe whatever you want. Yeshua doesn't say that. Yeshua says, follow me. And those are very different things. I am not concerned with the world. I am concerned with Yeshua. I want to follow him. I don't want to follow the media reports. I don't want to follow the world today. I want to follow what Yeshua says to do. That should be our number one goal as a believer. Follow him. That's it. As a believer, we should discern and we should judge to lift people up, but we shouldn't have time for gossip. We shouldn't have time for gossip. The evidence of maturity for believers is controlling the tongue. We shouldn't be messing with gossip. It shows our spiritual immaturity. It shows our pride. And you might think listening to this right now, well, that's not me. Come on, think about it. Have you judged somebody who says they believe in Yeshua? We certainly judge the world and we say, well, they're not believers. So we use that as an excuse to jump in the gossip pile. We judge a whole bunch of people we don't know. This is what politics is all about. We judge politicians based on what we see. We don't know these people. We don't know what they're going on in their personal life. But because we hear some media reports, we say, well, I don't like that politician, or I like that politician. Or we even have the goal to say this politician's not a good person, but we don't know them. We just see what they're doing. And we base it on that, but we don't know what they're going through. We don't know where they've been. We don't know what's happening in their life. We do that with the politician. We do that with the non-believer. But you know what? We do that with those that are following Yeshua. And we spread that gossip with the tongue. We have no control of the tongue. That's an immature believer. The evidence of a mature believer is controlling the tongue. Why is that? Because whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not, or believe it or not, words have power. Proverbs, which is the book of wisdom, tells us death and life are in control of the tongue. Understand this and let this sink in. Every rumor damages someone. Every careless accusation wounds someone. Every false assumption spreads poison. Once words leave our mouths, we cannot pull them back. That's why true disciples guard their speech. If we really truly want to follow our Creator, we're going to understand we must follow the scriptures and not pick and choose which commandment or which idea we want to follow. No, you follow him, not some of him, all of him. It says in the scriptures, commandment number 9, about false witness. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Many believers think bearing false witness is only lying in court. But that's not necessarily true. Sometimes false witnesses happens intentionally, and sometimes it happens because we repeat something without checking the facts. We become part of spreading something that may never even be true. And that right there dishonors our Creator. I do my best to give people the benefit of the doubt. I do my best to look at the best in the situations and in people. Yes, I keep my guide on and I try to do my best to judge situations. But I remember what it says in the scriptures. Paul described what biblical love was in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7. Love bears all things, believes in all things, hopes in all things, and endures all things. That doesn't mean we're naive. It means love does not immediately assume the worst. Love gives people the benefit of the doubt until the facts are known. That's how families stay healthy. That's how congregations remain united. Even when it is clear a person is guilty, even when the facts present themselves, we are to rise above and go up and beyond the world that just wants to punish people for their misbehavior. The mercy and grace that Yeshua gives us, we can extend to others. We have to realize there's this spiritual battle that's continuously going on for our souls. And by us being the gossiper, by us not having control over our tongue, by us pointing and condemning others, this is losing the spiritual battle. Remember, in Revelation, it calls the enemy the accuser of our brothers. One of his favorite strategies is accusation. He loves division and loves dividing and misunderstanding. And every time someone who calls himself a believer is going to get involved in the gossip of the world, the enemy wins ground. Every time believers investigate carefully before speaking, they get the enemy upset. We should never, ever help him do his work. We should come up against that. This is what we can grow from. This is what we must desire. Yahshua, our wonderful Messiah, calls us to reconciliation. if someone does something, especially against you, don't start talking about them. In the scripture, it tells us to go to them. Matthew 18, verse 15. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault privately. Notice the order once again. The order of our Creator. Go to the person first. Not your friends. Not social media. Go to the person first. This simple principle will save so many ministries and assemblies and congregations and churches if people follow this order. Something I try to do in my life and really helped me is to truly examine myself before I examine others. I try not even to examine others. But I truly have to think of myself and what's going on in my life. Matthew 7, verses 3 to 5 says, remove the log from your own eye before trying to remove a speck from someone else's. The greatest spiritual maturity is not becoming an expert of exposing other people's sins. It is believing serious about your own repentance. When we stay busy examining ourselves, we have less time to criticize others. I see it all the time with people creating division. Creating division. We need to do better. I need to do better. You can do better. Instead of asking, what did this person do wrong or what are they doing wrong? Ask yourself, what does our Creator want us to learn? So instead of me saying, that person, how could that person be better? No, how could you be better? Instead of thinking about exposing someone, how can you restore someone, lifting them up and not tearing them down? It's not about who's right or wrong or we got to make this right. No. If you see a brother or a sister struggling, you go and you talk to them. I remember this situation once where I knew a lady who owned a homeschool group. And it was a Christian homeschool group. And I said, if you saw a little boy come here, dressed as a girl, would you let him in? She said, yeah, I would. And I said, in my guilt of this today's message, said, why would you let him in? And set an example, a bad example for others. She said, I would let him in and I would talk to him. And I would ask him why he's making these choices in his life. I would try to get to know him. I would love him. And hopefully reach him. Now, I don't think she meant she would just let him in and ignore him and let him continue to be there every single day. But she had the point, which I'm trying to express to others here. Instead of us asking how we can prove we're right, let's start thinking, how can we glorify our Creator? It's those questions that produce maturity. We want to follow our Creator and walk like Him. Yeshua never ignored sin, but He always dealt with it righteously. He showed mercy without compromising truth. He confronted sin without hatred. He did judge with perfect justice, because He knew every heart, and we don't. That alone should produce humility. Let's think about some practical applications we can do before we stop believing any negative report or getting involved in any gossip. The first thing we need to do, once we identify something, a negative report, is just to pause a second and pray about it. It's okay to ask questions and seek facts. But we must, while doing that, refuse gossip. Don't accept it. Don't spread it. If correction is needed, seek to do it in a biblical fashion. If forgiveness is needed, then forgive. If restoration is possible, pursue restoration. Remember, the goal of discipleship isn't proving ourselves right, it's becoming more like Messiah. And this might seem easy to do when it's your friends in a situation or something like that. But what about something that's done to you, directly to you? How will you seek to fix something like this? The fear of our wonderful Creator changes how we see people. It should change how we listen, how we speak, and how we judge. The closer we walk with our Creator, the slower we become to assume the worst. We become people of truth, hallelujah. People of mercy, hallelujah. People of wisdom, hallelujah. May we become disciples who judge righteously, love deeply, speak carefully, and reflect the heart of Yeshua in every conversation. John 13:35 says, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Let that be our testimonial." Hallelujah, brothers and sisters. I know this world we live today, we want to get very protective and defensive. We don't want to let people into our congregations or our groups that are guilty of doing something. We certainly don't want to have any involvement in pagan practices of this world. We don't want to give any appearance that we're accepting those things. But at the same time, we must understand, if we truly want to follow Yeshua, we have to set the example in all areas, including the mercy, and understand the measure that we're talking about here in today's message. The sign of spiritual maturity is to get control of your tongue and don't have anything to do with gossip. I pray this message speaks to you and changes you and transforms you and me in Yeshua's name. Have a blessed day, everybody, and shalom, shalom.
You've been listening to the Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida, 33466. Thank you for your prayers and support. Torah
Life Ministries. Portions of WCNO's broadcast day are underwritten by Palm Beach Ironworks, specializing in structural steel fabrication and installation. Palm Beach Ironworks also provides machine shop services, welding, press brake, shear and brake, and they work with steel, stainless steel, or aluminum. Located at 7768 Belvedere Road in West Palm Beach Ironworks can be reached at 561-683-1816.
The views and opinions of programmers heard on WCNO are the responsibility of the participants and producers of the program and may not reflect the views and opinions of the staff or management of WCNO.